Blog Talk Radio.
I think we're on the air. The introduction didn't play like it was supposed to, so I don't know what was going on with that. But I'm not going to bore you guys today like what Fox Sports Radio did to me earlier in the car driving around and doing my last-minute Christmas shopping. And they were talking about their sweet and sour chicken recipes for a freaking hour. Let's keep this show about sports. Let's keep this show about the topic at hand today. That is the suspension of Odell Beckham Jr. Earlier this morning, we woke up to a report from Ron Jaworski of ESPN that the Odell Beckham Jr. suspension has been overturned, and that it looks like Odell Beckham Jr. would be able to play Sunday night in Minnesota. Then we learned that report was very, very, very premature, and as I was on the radio with Fox Sports Radio Network, because I was on the show earlier this morning with them, we found out that the suspension has been upheld. And that brings me to an interesting theory that I had in this whole thing. Is it possible, with the NFL being as shady as they are, with that piece of crap named Roger Goodell running this league, that there might be a conspiracy here that they had someone like Ron Jaworski, not Schefter, not Mortensen, not to ruin their reputation, but Jaworski, make a report about Odell suspension being overturned just to see what the public reaction would be on it, and then either the public reaction on it was going to be, oh, good, you guys did the right thing, or what the hell is wrong with you guys? Obviously, the majority was, what the hell is wrong with you guys? Then a couple hours later, the guy's suspension is actually upheld? Shady to me. And I wouldn't put it past Roger Goodell to do that. I do agree with the decision. Odell Beckham Jr. should have completely been suspended. Because when you run after a player's head 20 yards down the field and you go for nothing but their head, you could have ended Josh Norman's career. I don't care what was said or what was done pregame. I don't care. Seriously, are we going to play that game where, he called me a mean name so I wouldn't try to end his career? That's a bunch of BS, in my opinion. And I don't care what was said, what might not have been said. I don't care. I don't care about all that. You should be a grown man and realize that in the NFL, football, or sports in general, trash talking happens. Trash talking occurs in every single game. And I don't want to hear all these excuses about it. Am I not saying that the words are nice or wrong? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not whatever. But I'm saying it happens. It happens. And that's no reason to go and try to go after a player's head. And if Odell was so mad about what he possibly was called or the bat situation or whatever, then wouldn't he have taken action earlier in the game, not in the third quarter? Come on, give me a break. Brad Miller's unavailable to join me tonight, but I do have my good buddy and co-host of WrestleRama, A-Train, on.
His opinion on this matter.
A-Train, go ahead, weigh in on your thoughts.
All right, well, I would like to first thank you for having me on the show tonight. Now, I want to talk about Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell is a moron. This whole thing is just ridiculous. People are trying to defend Odell Beckham, which I think is a joke. You do not go after a player and try to end their career just because they called you a slur.
We don't even know if that's true. We don't even know. There was no proof whatsoever if those claims were even true. But there is proof that we have of Odell Beckham running down the field trying to take his damn head off. We have proof on that one.
Yes, we do. And, I've been called 10 times worse on the field, but I wasn't a big baby and went after a guy and cheap shotted him. That's ridiculous. You're a grown man. You need to act like it. You can't be getting all butthurt because someone called you a name. Boo-hoo. You make millions upon millions of dollars to do what you think you do best. But you want to try to end your own career by taking out somebody else's? I think this match should be more than the game. Way more than the game.
When you look at it this way, too, what has Roger Goodell's main priority been since taking over the league? Head injuries, right? Player safety. So,
yeah.
a guy goes after a guy's head, blindsides him, and somehow, some way, we're not going to suspend him. Well, obviously, they did uphold it, which is good. But what do you think about my theory about having Jaworski be the one to leak out a report about Odell's suspension being overturned to see how the NFL fans would react to it, and then having the real insiders of Morton's Interceptor report on the truth? Do you think that there could be that my conspiracy theory, quote unquote, isn't too out of line, that could have been the case?
I agree with you. I wouldn't put nothing past Roger Goodell right now. Nothing. He's a fool.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was a lawyer, correct?
Yes, he was. He was a crappy lawyer, but yes.
So he was a lawyer, so he knows all about lying. So why should we trust this guy? He's a snake. He was a lawyer. He's obviously a snake. So what kind of snake stuff did he do when he was an attorney that he's not doing in the NFL as a commissioner?
Exactly. You know, this is what people don't get. People are backing Beckham, like I said. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't care if you're a Giants fan or not. It's absolutely ridiculous that you're backing a guy that tried taking out another. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, a lot of people are saying, too, that Norman wasn't the victim either. And I'm not saying he was. I am not saying whatsoever. Josh Norman was involved in a lot of those after plays, too. But the one where Beckham came down the field to take a blindside shot, he should have been thrown out of the damn game when that the whole thing happened. He should have been thrown out of the game. And, you know, that was a really bad, bad situation. It looked like Beckham lost control of his temper because Beckham hasn't been challenged by a corner like Josh Norman. Beckham has not been challenged like that in his entire career. A lot of defenders, and, you know, I hate to say this because you're NFL players, but a lot of people line up against Beckham and then they get a little scared. They get intimidated. Norman's not intimidated by anything. Josh Norman's a savage.
No.
He's a monster. And he challenged
and they were also,
Beckham,
Tyler,
and Beckham
they were
couldn't
also
handle
talking
it.
Crap to each other on Twitter all week long. So
no, I didn't
they were
see
going
any
towards
that
social
stuff.
Media.
I didn't see any of that stuff. What was the deal on the Twitter?
They were actually talking smack to each other before the game was even before it began. The whole week they were just
Norman,
trashing each other.
Norman and Beckham?
Yes. Now this is from sources that I've heard from have said that follow both guys said that they were trash talking all week long at each other. So, I mean, I'm just going by what my sources have told me.
Well, here's the other thing that I view as hypocritical from public opinion is that a lot of people, when I made my post about how I think Beckham's suspension should be upheld, they would ask me, well, what about Wallace from the Steelers? It's just like, look, just because I think Odell Beckham's suspension should be upheld does not mean that I don't think Cody Wallace should be suspended either. I saw the play, the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman that ran down the field and hit a Denver Bronco, you know, head on, well off of the play. I saw the play, and I'm all for suspending Cody Wallace. I think he should be suspended too. What I hate is when the public opinion is, oh, well, you know, you're just against Beckham because you're by. It's like, no. Any player that runs down the field and their only intent is to either injure or severely damage someone's, you know, career doesn't deserve to be in the league. And I think Beckham's lucky to get away with one game, and I think Wallace is lucky that he didn't even get suspended. And when you look at it, you know, yeah, you can make the argument too. Well, Beckham got, you know, a lot of attention on it because of the name. Not a lot of people were familiar with Cody Wallace, you know. But
I was
for suspending Cody Wallace too.
Yeah, this, you know, this whole thing with the NFL is just ridiculous. And, you know, everybody's going to have an opinion. Everybody's going to say what they want to say. Wallace, of course, should have got suspended because I don't get that, man. Why go after somebody? After the play's over, why? What do you got to prove? There's nothing to prove. What, prove that you're an idiot?
Well, that could have hurt the Steelers and the Broncos. You know, that ended up, the Broncos had a big lead and the Steelers came back. That could have, affected the chances of the Steelers' comeback win, which, you know, they ended up winning the game, but that could have been a turning point. If you look back to earlier in the season, it was week one, it was a Sunday night opener, the game I was actually at, and Jeremy Mincy had a penalty that gave the Giants an automatic first down should have gave them the win, and it almost did. We were lucky enough to survive, but it's just stupidity like that where it's like you're so selfish that you're going to put yourself before your team and cost your team because you're pissed off about one little thing. Take it out on the next play. Chill out. Take it out on the next play.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
What do you think if the NFL, obviously the NFL suspended Odell and they did uphold it, which is good, fantastic.
Yeah.
What would have been your reaction if they would have actually overturned this? If Jaworski's report earlier was right, and if they would have overturned this, how would that have looked on Roger Goodell and the NFL in general?
It would have looked like Roger Goodell is a complete moron. I mean, he's already done something already this year. He didn't upheld Tom Brady's suspension. Well, of course, that's for another issue. But at the same time, you know, I wouldn't put it past him to, you know, be like, okay, he's allowed to play and everything. Because Roger Goodell has a hidden agenda. People are not going to, you know, agree with me or anything, but the man has a hidden agenda. Everybody does. And I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have been like, okay, you said you're sorry. Let's move on. You can play Sunday night. I wouldn't have been surprised either way.
You talked about Tom Brady and you said that it's not related, but in reality, I think it is related because when you look at it this way, Tom Brady was suspended 4 games for deflating footballs or allegedly being involved in deflating footballs and destroying a cell phone. So we give Tom Brady 4 games for having a suspension of not returning over his cell phone. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton doesn't turn over her emails and she's a candidate to run for president. But that is a different story.
Yeah, that is a different story. You want to keep sports? Let's not go to that stuff, please.
Let's not ruin this show by bringing up Hillary Clinton's name. Oh, God. Let me barf.
No. No one's hungry of Hillary Clinton's name just to make fun of her. That lady would never
goodness.
Be president.
Yeah, but let's talk about that for a second. Hillary Clinton. Gosh, get off my show, Hillary. You're not invited in this party. Tom Brady got a 4-game suspension for deflating footballs and not turning over evidence or something. But we give Odell Beckham a 1-game suspension for going after a player's head. So are we saying now, based on the way the NFL rules are written, the way this looks, basically the way this looks, is that the NFL, and this comes all the way back down to money, and I'll explain what I mean by that. You have Roger Goodell, whose main concern and what he keeps pushing after is player safety and head injuries and so on and so forth. But when we look at the history of who's been suspended and what their actions were that caused them to be suspended, right, we have Tom Brady for 4 games for deflating footballs.
Mm-hmm.
Not even personally deflating himself, just having knowledge of footballs being deflated. And we have Odell Beckham suspended for 1 game for going after a head. And you look at that. So now we're looking at the consequences of those actions. So basically the way the NFL is written, deflating footballs and having knowledge of it is a worse action than trying to go after a player's head. And why is that suspicious? Well, it comes back down to money, like I said. With all the lawsuits going on, with concussions and, you know, that concussion movie coming out and so on and so forth. Roger
that
Goodell
movie cannot come out at a
look.
Better time, by the way.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute, too, because I want to go on that a little bit as well. But when you look at that, all these players that are suing Roger Goodell or the NFL for money, for head injuries, and Goodell's out here saying, oh, you know, we're gonna take the appropriate action for player safety and we're going to prevent concussions and so on and so forth and concussion protocols, et cetera, et cetera. Well, obviously you're just blowing smoke out of your ass because if you really cared that much about player safety and head injuries, you would hold these players going after players' heads more accountable. Odell got the 1-game suspension. Fine and dandy. Should have been more. If you're going to suspend a guy 4 games for deflating footballs or having knowledge of people deflating footballs, why is the guy that went after a guy's head only getting 1-game suspension? Why is Cody Wallace only getting a fine? You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
And the second thing, off topic a little bit, but Adrian Peterson came out and said that he supports Odell Beckham, that Odell Beckham shouldn't be shouldn't be suspended. Adrian Peterson, I want to know when your book on how to raise a kid comes out, because the last person that should be talking about any type of shit is you, considering you beat your own son with a whip. So I don't think anyone cares about your public opinion on this matter.
Pipe bomb.
I couldn't believe that. It blew my mind that Adrian Peterson, of all people, came out to support Odell Beckham with the action that Odell took. And I'm thinking in my head, are you really the one that should be talking on this, AT? I mean, didn't you take a switch and beat the crap out of your little son with it? I mean, goodness gracious.
I'm sorry, that just caught me off guard. Oh, boy. You good now? You all right?
I'm good. Are you good?
I'm good. Are you calm now?
Oh, I'm calm. I'm fine. I'm still, you know, imagine how fired up I would be on the show if they did overturn the suspension. But my thing, do you get my point, though? My point is that you got to have consistency here. And since Goodell's taken over these suspensions, there has not been any type of consistency whatsoever. It goes back to the Ray Rice situation. You can even make the argument about Greg Hardy. You can make the argument about multiple things. You can make the argument, and here's what I mean about the Ray Rice and the Greg Hardy connection, why we're on the topic of suspension and consistency. When Ray Rice got suspended, he was suspended for 2 games, and this is what I mean about conspiracies and just how horrible Goodell has been in this whole situation. Ray Rice was suspended for 2 games because of the domestic violence thing, and he deserved a suspension. So he was suspended for 2 games, and then somehow TMZ leaked a video of the hotel of him knocking his fiance out, and then it ends up being he's banned from the NFL for a year. And my thing, what I'm thinking, is that these officials in the NFL either did a piss-poor job of doing the investigation, or they did know about the video and didn't want it to be released so they could have Ray Rice for 14 and 16 games to make more money. Because
from what TMZ said, they said, from where they got the footage, they said the NFL had that footage first. So the NFL knew about this, but when it got leaked, they decided, well, we're caught. Let's get out of the situation.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point. And if true, and I do believe it to be true, then that just goes to show that the NFL cares more about money than, you know, morality. They did not want the video to get released. They didn't want the video to get leaked because they wanted Ray Rice there to make, you know, the NFL more competitive or whatever, because Ray Rice, you know, was the biggest thing in Baltimore at the time. It's like Odell Beckham is the biggest thing. Odell Beckham is a draw. You know, you brought up, you know, had a wrestling joke earlier, like The Rock is a draw. Brock Lesnar is a draw. Well, Odell Beckham on Sunday Night Football is a draw because people always talk about that stupid catch he made on Sunday Night Football last year in a losing effort, mind you, against Dallas. And, you know, people remember Odell Beckham for that stupid one-handed catch he made over Brandon Carr, who couldn't cover a receiver lying on his back, mind you. And people relate that with Sunday Night Football. And the NFL didn't want to lose money with Odell Beckham not being there. But then they had Jaworski make that tweet to see what people's reactions would be, and it was either going to go one of two ways. People would tweet back like, oh, thank goodness, Odell, we're going to get to see Odell. Yay, justice is good. But no, that's not how we reacted. We reacted like, wow, what a hypocritical stance by the NFL. And then it just seemed also funny that 10 minutes later, Dorsey was like, oh, false alarm, after all the negative tweets came flowing in, and then more negative tweets came flowing in about how, wow, how did you guys overturn the suspension? He should have been suspended. And then 2 hours later, it's ruled that he's upheld. There's a conspiracy going on there. I don't care what anyone says.
Yes.
It's too shady.
Yes. Conspiracy of the NFL, which has been at work for years.
Well, since Goodell's taken over anyway.
Yeah.
And my next thoughts are this. We got to come up with a plan somehow to get rid of this clown. Do we do one of those, what is it, that change.org situation, change.org petition that every time someone
They've already tried that. It's already been tried, and I believe they have 50,000 people have their name to that petition, and nothing got done.
Interesting.
So, I mean, there's no way Roger Goodell's going to leave unless he says, I'm leaving as commissioner. I mean, that's the way it's going to go.
Interesting.
And that's just the way it is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, let's talk about some of the other suspensions. What are some of the other suspensions that have had? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think Josh Norman deserved his suspension? Because there was a play where he did knee Beckham in the head in retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
He did knee Beckham in the head in retaliation. Granted, you know, a knee to the head is not as severe as running down the field 20 yards from the play, running at full speed,
yeah,
going helmet to helmet. I mean,
yeah,
Norman did instigate a lot of stuff. But,
you know,
I just feel like, go ahead.
There's that saying, two wrongs don't make a right. You know, this is kind of difficult, though. You know, he didn't go to the extreme of what Beckham did, of course. But at the same time, if they're looking to get Beckham, they're going to get the other guy, too. So I kind of understand to that aspect of it all. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't think his was as bad as Beckham, because Beckham actually, like, went with his head and did basically a headbutt helmet to helmet, and ran 20 yards full of speed. So I don't know. I'm torn on that one.
Here's the other topic that has been brought up that people have been asking about. The NFL officials that were officiating that ball game could have done a better job of getting that situation under control, because you did see two athletes that were trading punches with each other in the first quarter. Twice this happened. Flags thrown on either play. It took them to the third quarter, fourth quarter to get that calmed down, and they didn't even get it calmed down. So the NFL officials, I think that they should be under more scrutiny than they have been. They've kind of gotten a free pass in this whole situation because people have been focusing on Beckham and Norman, but they haven't discussed about how pissed off the
sports analysts. And there's actually sports analysts that have said, I give respect to those refs for letting these guys play it out and everything. What are you speaking crazy? These guys weren't playing it out. They were fighting. This isn't the UFC. It's the NFL. Ridiculous.
I can understand to an extent, you know, getting a little chippy. I'm fine with that. A big game, getting a little chippy, doing a little bit of jawing, that's one thing. Not throwing a flag on somebody because they're doing a little bit of jawing. Right. Not doing a little bit of jawing, doing a little bit of trash talk, that's one thing. Like I go, I'm fine with that. I was fine with the chippiness. But throwing punches and running down the field 30 yards, 20 yards, whatever it was, that warranted an ejection. And the fact that he did not get ejected, let's put the roles in reverse here for a minute. If it was Norman that came down the field 20 yards and hit Odell Beckham, the NFL's golden poster child, the same way Beckham hit Norman, do you think Norman gets thrown out of that game?
Probably.
I think so. And here's the double standard on it. The NFL is all about protecting receivers. You know, you can't hit a receiver when he's in his route. You can't hit a receiver. You can't hit a defenseless receiver, yada, 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 yada. Well, last time I checked, defensive backs are actually smaller than most receivers in the NFL, right? So
yes.
What the hell is the difference about protecting defensive backs as well from a bigger receiver coming down? You know, Beckham's not the biggest receiver in the league, but you get my point. The average receiver is taller and bigger than the average defensive back. So why aren't we protecting defensive backs from the same type of possible injury from receivers? Because a lot of receivers are drama queen divas like Beckham that are acting out and they're going to get a little pissed off, and they're going to try to come after you because they're pissed off because you're being shut down.
I couldn't agree with you more on that one.
What about receivers like and you know, I'm just giving examples of players that are, you know, bigger receivers like Calvin Johnson. Not to say Calvin would ever do any of this stuff, but you have a 6'5" receiver,
no.
And what if they do a blindside block, you know, on a 5'8" corner? Okay, you're all about protecting receivers over the middle. Why are we not protecting defensive backs as well? Why is it we're protecting offensive players? We're protecting players that we choose to. We're protecting the quarterback. We're protecting receivers. But does that mean that player safety for other positions doesn't matter? Because that's what it seems like to me. We have all these rules about quarterbacks. We have all these rules about receivers. Okay. What about tight ends coming across the middle? What about quarterbacks or linebackers being blindsided? If we're going to be all about player safety, why is it only certain positions? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, the defense gets so scrutinized, you know, but when they get laid out, a defense player gets laid out, nothing gets done about it. It's just like, oh, he's fine. Let him get up. He's okay. There won't be nothing going on. He's okay. It's ridiculous. Just because they're on defense doesn't mean they're this high-powered person that doesn't get hurt. It doesn't get lit up. That's stupid. If you think a defensive player is immortal and doesn't get hurt, doesn't get rocked, you need to learn football some more.
Well, and that's just the thing about it. And you know, I'm not excusing Josh Norman. Like I said, I'm not excusing Josh Norman and his actions, but everything I was fine with pretty much everything that happened with the Odell and the Norman situation and the chippiness and everything, except for the play Odell came down and tried to hit him right in the head. I wasn't okay with it. I was even okay with the Allen Iverson step over after Odell scored the touchdown. Even though, you know, unclassy, sure, whatever, I thought it was hilarious. You know, that was whatever. Two guys are going at it, and Odell won that matchup. Fine. Funny stuff. But you don't go after a player's head, period. Now let's go into the main topic at hand here. Now the New York Giants are going to Minnesota. They won't have their best receiver. They already don't have their second-best receiver in Victor Cruz. They don't have the starting tight end, Larry DeMal, even though Will Tye has done a very decent job filling in that role. The Giants pretty much have no running game, although Rashad Jennings has played decently in the past couple of weeks, but that's going to end against Minnesota's run defense. So now you have to rely on Eli Manning, with his number one receiver being Reuben Randle and his number two receiver being Dwayne Harris. Any chance they win that game on Sunday?
No. Not at all. I see Minnesota just totally picking them apart. Minnesota's defense gets very little praise, and I believe they will blitz all night long because, well, and I'm going to be honest here. Right now, if I'm telling you, I'm gonna lay it out right now. If they lose Sunday night, of course they'll most likely be out of playoff contention. Tom Coughlin's going to be fired at the end of the year. This team has no shot. Adrian Peterson's going to run all over them if he plays.
Oh, the Giants' run defense is pathetic. Adrian Peterson's out. We're going to have a big day.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Bridgewater ran on them. This game is going to be one-sided all the way around.
It's going to be pretty boring. I think they should unflex this game. You know how they can flex the games or whatever. I honestly think they should unflex this game somehow, put it in the afternoon game, and flex a more important game like, Cincinnati-Denver on Monday night. That's a big game.
Yep.
But
yes, it is.
I was going to say, why don't you flex Green Bay and Arizona?
Exactly.
That would make more money than the Odell Beckham giantless Odell Beckhamless Giants versus the, you know, Vikings. But I don't make the calls. But what I will say, though, is the Giants' defense, run defense, has been atrocious all year long. Adrian Peterson should have a pretty big day. I mean, the Giants let a quarterback run 100 yards on them, for crying out loud. So,
yeah.
Like you said, I think Bridgewater's going to have that kind of game, too. I don't think he's going to have a Cam Newton-like game. Cam Newton just went long.
No, Cam Newton's a different beast.
Yeah. Cam Newton's more physical than Bridgewater. Bridgewater's athletic, but Cam Newton is just the guy that's not afraid of contact. Cam Newton is having an unbelievable year.
Cam Newton will run at you. He don't care. He will run.
Cam Newton's a monster. Some defensive players actually probably fear Cam Newton, believe it or not. But, you know, let's go ahead and talk about the playoff seedings as we have it, though. We have the Giants at, 6-8, right? Two games left. We have the Redskins at 7-7. We have the Eagles at 6-8. We have the Cowboys out at 4-10. So it looks like it's Washington's in control of it because Washington plays Philly this week, which even if they lose that game, they'll be tied. But then the Washington ends up playing Dallas week 17. And Dallas did beat them a few weeks ago, but now with the Cowboys having Matt Castle benched and Kellen Moore in, Kellen Moore is, you know, not that much of an experienced quarterback. Dez has been hobbled up. Washington will want revenge, you know, week 17. I think Washington will at least win and go 8-8 and win this division.
I am so sorry. Your team's had more issues than anything, and I want to apologize. So
I think I've, you know, I think I've handled it, the whole situation pretty well, though.
No, I agree with you. I'm just apologizing because, I mean, the way they looked at the beginning of the year, you're just like, oh, here we go, here it is, and Tony Romo goes down. And then it was just all over from there.
If they would have had Romo and Dez most of the year, let's say Romo and Dez never got hurt, Dallas run away with his division?
Oh, you guys would have won it probably 3 weeks ago.
I agree. I am looking forward to having a top five draft pick. I am looking forward to have Romo and all those guys back next year. And, you know, we'll go from there. We have guys like Ezekiel Elliott that'll be in the draft from Ohio State. You know, so we'll see what happens. But let's talk about the teams that are still in it. I think Washington does split, and I think that's all they need to do to win the NFC East, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Giants lose Sunday night, so the Giants will be done. And then who knows what happens week 17 between the Giants and Philly. That'll be an interesting game because if Philly loses to the Eagles, this is how crazy the NFC East is getting. If the Eagles can beat the Redskins on Sunday, Let's just mark the Giants as a loss, 6-9. Let's mark them as a loss already. 6-9 for the Giants. The Eagles are 6-8, and the Redskins are 7-7. So if the Eagles beat the Redskins, then we have two teams that are 7-8, and then another team that's 6-9, right?
Yeah.
So the following week, let's have a scenario where the Redskins play the Cowboys, and somehow the Cowboys win. Then the Eagles and the Giants would be playing, and if the Giants can win that game, the Giants would be 7-9, the Eagles would be 7-9, and the Redskins would be 7-9. We'd have a 3-way tie in the NFC East. And a 7-9 record.
Who would own the tiebreaker?
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now, because the Redskins lost to the Cowboys. They would have lost to the Cowboys twice.
Yeah.
They did.
So they split
with Philly. Well, I believe they split with Philly, so I believe the Redskins would have finished 3-3 in the division. I believe. The Giants.
And plus, you got to look on the outside, too. Giants lost to New England. Eagles beat New England. So
that has nothing to do with the tiebreaker, but I see what your point is. Well, let's just think about the tiebreaker for a minute. We had, let's see, I'm trying to look at the standings right now. Let's just say the scenario that I just threw out there. The Redskins go in at 7-8, the Eagles go in at 7-8, and the Giants go in at 6-9, and then they finish with a 3-way tie. Let's see what kind of mad craziness we would have in the NFC East. We have – let's see. I'm trying to pull up the playoff picture right now because it's going to go off the first tiebreaker's division records. Okay. So the Redskins would be two losses to the Cowboys. And I know that they lost to the Giants earlier in the year. While I'm pulling this up, A-Train, you can go on your predictions and stuff because I'm trying to pull up the damn thing and it's not.
Okay. Well, over in the AFC, it is a very tight race for the number two seed. That will probably come down to Monday night in Denver, Colorado. The New England will have the number one seed. There's no doubting that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. New England has the number one seed. It will come down to Cincinnati and Denver for the number two. And I'm telling you right now, the way we looked against San Francisco, I don't know. But also, Denver gave up a 20-point lead in the second half and lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Pittsburgh's a different team than the 49ers. But I think if we go in there, we could beat Denver in Denver because the team left Monday and has been there since Monday night. So they're getting used to the altitude and they're getting ready. So we might be playing without Geno Atkins too. That's another possibility. If we win, we lock the number two seed. We win the AFC North. We get the first round bye. In the same way with Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos win. They get the AFC West and whatnot. And they get the first round bye.
Okay. So A Train. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I have the NFC East pulled up, and this is just how crazy this would be if the scenario I just threw out there actually occurs. If you have the Redskins lose the next two. They lose to who's Washington play this week? They play Philadelphia. And then if they lose to Dallas. So if Philadelphia wins this week against Washington, if Washington loses out, they lose to Philly, they lose to Dallas. If Philadelphia beats Washington this week and then loses to the Giants, and then if the Giants lose this week to Minnesota but beat Philly, we'd have a three-way tie for the NFC East Division at 7-9. The division record for the Redskins would be 2-4, automatically eliminating them from the division title. So the second the tiebreaker would now be between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. The New York Giants division record would be 3-3. The Philadelphia Eagles division record would also be 3-3. So the next tiebreaker, would go to the conference. If the Giants lose to the Vikings this week, they would fall to 4-7 in the conference. The Eagles would be 4-7 in the conference. So that means we would go to the tiebreaker of week 17, which would be we would have them both be 4-7 in the conference. So whoever won the game week 17 would be 5-7 in the conference, the other one being 4-8 in the conference. So the New York Giants would be your NFC East champions at 7-9. So this is the only possible way that the New York Giants can clinch the NFC East. They have to either win out. They have to have Philadelphia beat Washington on Sunday. They have to have the Redskins lose out. They have to have Philadelphia beat the Redskins on Sunday, and then the Giants have to either win out or like the scenario that we just said. So the Giants aren't done yet either.
Wow. And the NFC East is a joke.
Well, here's my thinking. Well, someone that's 8-8 is going to win the division. We're 7-9. But here's the crazy part about it. And let's just throw out the sake of argument just as a football fan perspective, just as a football fan in general. Just as a guy like you and I that we love wrestling because we love the storylines and the drama, and you know most of the time they script it to where it's a story that we would love. If
yes.
I was the NFL and if the NFL was scripted like the WWE, I would script it the way I just said. Have the drama just be absolutely insane. We would have the Giants lose on Sunday night. Oh, they're 6-9. Looks like the season's over. But wait a minute, the Eagles just beat the Redskins. And then the following week, the Redskins just lost the Cowboys. And the Giants just beat the Eagles to win the division. And now the Giants are into the playoffs at 7-9 and get a host of playoff games. And who do the Giants would play if they won that playoff game? The Carolina Panthers, who had the first seed in the NFC. That would end up playing the lowest record in the NFL. in the playoffs in the second round. So we would have a Norman and Odell Beckham rematch in the playoffs.
Oh boy.
Giants go to Carolina, and it becomes a close game the whole way through. Odell Beckham catches the game-winning touchdown over Josh Norman's head and leads the Giants into the NFC Championship game, ending the Carolina Panthers' perfect season at 16-1. And, of course, the Giants get their ass kicked the following week in the NFC Championship game. But, I mean, if you had a script
something. Oh, my gosh.
If you had a script something, I'm just a writer for WWE. I mean, I could script this stuff to be so dramatic. It would be amazing. In my personal opinion, I honestly think the NFC is going to go to the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
I do think that the Packers win this week against the Cardinals, and I think the Packers do make some noise in the playoffs because you can never count out the Panthers. But I don't see the Panthers lasting to the Super Bowl. I don't.
No. I have to agree with you. I don't think they could do it either. I mean, the last 2 years, you know, last year they got beat by Seattle, but of course Seattle was a different monster. But I just don't see them winning the NFC. I don't see them winning the Super Bowl. I don't see Cam Newton winning the Super Bowl yet. So to all those Panther fans that are listening right now, go ahead and cry, but you're not going to win it this year. There's no way.
I especially don't want to see them good nights. That's just the crazy part about it is when the Patriots were on their run, you know, they were undefeated, the 14-0. They had like a tracker, like every week, like, oh, like they had tabs, you know, saying 5 more games for the undefeated season, you know. We haven't even really talked about the Panthers as much as we have. They're probably the least talked about 14-0 team in the history of sports. It's like they're 14-0 and
no one
cares.
No one thinks, yeah, it's like no one thinks they're for real. And I mean, I think they are, but do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No. Because it's that Miami Dolphin curse. Everybody talks
about. I don't even know if it's necessarily a curse. I just see that there's better overall teams because, yeah, they have a great defense. But guess what? Arizona has just as good of a defense. And not only that, you want to talk about something else, Arizona's got a better offense. Arizona's got more weapons.
Yeah.
They got David Johnson, who's a monster. Carson Palmer is just as good of a quarterback as Cam Newton, and they have 3 really solid receivers in John Brown, Michael Floyd, and Larry Fitzgerald. Whereas, you know, I think Carolina's receivers, or lack thereof, mind you, is going to come back to haunt them. You have Jonathan Stewart on crutches. We don't know how long he's going to be out. And your best receiver is Ted Ginn Jr. I just don't see that, you know, being something that can get you very far in the playoffs once you get to the playoffs and you get to the next level. Now, in the AFC, here's what's going to get really interesting, because so many teams are banged up. 3 of the best teams in the AFC are banged up right now. You got Andy Dalton on the bench. You got Peyton Manning on the bench, although Osweiler's done an admirable job taking over. And now you have, I believe, Aqib Talib got hurt last week. And you also have guys like Deion Lewis, LeGarrette Blount, Julian Edelman, although he's expected to be back for the playoffs, all banged up for the Patriots. I think the team to be really looking out for in the AFC, and you're not going to like it, but it's the truth, and I think as a football fan, you'll agree with me. Pittsburgh Steelers are getting hot at the right time.
God. Forget your prediction, Tyler. Steelers.
Okay, here's what I'll say about the Steelers. Antonio Brown, first of all, is the hardest receiver to cover in the NFL. You're not going to shut him down. He's the best receiver in the league. Case closed, period. D'Angelo Williams has filled in, and they haven't even really missed Le'Veon Bell. You have to say Le'Veon Bell's a bad player. He's my favorite running back in the league. But D'Angelo Williams has done just as good of a job as Le'Veon Bell could do in that offense this season. One thing that does concern me with the Pittsburgh Steelers, though, is that their secondary is probably the worst in the league, and that's what burned the Colts last year. So I think – I don't know if the Steelers are going to make a deep run, but I think that they have the potential to at least upset someone. I don't know if it'll be the Broncos. I don't know if it'll be the Patriots or whoever, you know, in the playoffs, but you got to be on the lookout for them. And then you look at a team like the New York Jets, too, with the good defense and then the receivers they have. They have the potential to upset somebody.
Granted, I don't know if they'll be able to get in because the Kansas City Chiefs, who also no one's talking about, because everyone wrote them off when they were, I think, what, 1-5, and now they've won 8 in a row. And if you look at their 5 losses they have in the season, 3 of them they could have easily won. They lost the last second. They lost the last second in Chicago. They, you know, they had a little bit of heartbreaker in Green Bay. And you know, they haven't messed the beat without Jamal Charles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yes, you know, everything's going downhill for the top 3 teams right now. I do have to agree with about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Even though Ben Roethlisberger is a big whiny crybaby who cries until he gets his way, I have to agree they're one of the best teams right now. They're one of the hottest teams. I believe you were just picking on this. The Chiefs, I think, are nothing to look over.
Absolutely not.
They're starting to play heck of a ball game. Well, they've won, what, 8 straight? Am I correct?
Oh, yeah, and if you look at that type of West Coast offense, too, you have Alex Smith, who's a really good game manager, and he knows his role. Charkhan, you put any running back in that offense, and it's so running back friendly, anyone could, you know, have success on it. Charkhandrick West, Spencer Ware. I mean, every running back in that lineup has had great success in that offense.
Spencer Ware.
And now you have a really good playmaker, Jeremy Maclin.
Spencer Ware, I haven't heard that name in a while. I played him in high school.
Spencer Ware, he's had one heck of a season filling in for, you know, when Charkhandrick West got hurt. And, you know, Charkhandrick West has done a really good job when Jamal Charles went hurt. It was when Charles got hurt, it seemed like, oh, season's over. 1-5, Charles is done. Oh, crap. Now they're probably going to win out. I think they're just with Oakland and Baltimore. Or Baltimore and Cleveland,
and
some easy schedule like that.
And here's the thing. If they win out and Baltimore loses, I mean, not Baltimore, what am I saying? Denver loses their last 2, they could possibly win the AFC West.
Yep.
They have a good
shot. And I don't know. I have no idea who's winning on Monday night between Cincinnati and Denver because it's A.J. McCarron versus Brock Osweiler. And now if it was Andy Dalton versus Brock Osweiler, I'd say the Bengals have it under wrap. But now I don't know. I mean, but Karen, I don't know. It doesn't seem like Tyler Eifert's probably not going to play again, so they already lost the weapon in there with Eifert being out. You know, of course, they have A.J. Green. What I thought was a little disappointing in the Niners and Bengals game that I thought your offensive coordinator could have done a better job of doing is getting guys like Mohamed Sanu involved, getting guys like your Wildcat involved. You're coming up with more creative ways to move the ball and to score rather than just handing the ball off to McCarron and say, hey, go be Andy Dalton, because he's still young. He hasn't developed. When you have guys go down, you need to have other players do what they can do best. Get guys like New involved. Get guys like Marvin Jones involved on jet sweeps. Come up with creative ways to score the damn ball.
And Sanu can also throw. That's why, you know, during the Pittsburgh game, they announced Sanu as a third-string quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not third-string, but you know what I'm saying. If McCarron got hurt, Sanu would have went in.
Right. You know, it's why we're on that topic of emergency quarterbacks. You know who Pittsburgh Steelers' emergency quarterback is, don't you? You're going to laugh when I tell you. You're never going to guess who it is. Go ahead and take a guess.
It's not the quarterback from Oklahoma, right?
It's not even a quarterback on their team. Their emergency quarterback is not even a quarterback.
Please. Please, no. Not Tim Tebow.
No. He's not even a quarterback on their team. He's a quarterback. He's a player on their team. He's a starter on that offense.
Who? I'm sorry. What?
Keith Miller. Go look it up. When Michael Vick got hurt, and when Roethlisberger got hurt, When Roethlisberger was the backup because Landry Jones was starting and Vick was hurt, and Landry Jones got hurt, and Roethlisberger had to come in and threw for 6 touchdowns. They announced Keith Miller was the emergency quarterback if Roethlisberger went down. Miller.
Oh, please, let that happen. Let it happen. Let him lose out. Go ahead, hurt Roethlisberger. I don't care. Hurt him. I want to see this.
I would
would love to see Heath Miller be the quarterback. I mean, who knows? Maybe he can throw it 7 yards. I don't know. You know, that used to be fun when you used to play the old Madden, and they used to actually let you play any position at quarterback, and you could have, like, your offensive guard play quarterback.
I had my center play quarterback once. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, man, I used to do the create a player all the time, where you create a guy, 7'5", 415 pounds, play quarterback. It was awesome. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. Or you have created a 5-foot, 125-pound linebacker who had a hit stick of 100. Oh, my goodness.
The good old days.
So let's go ahead and let's finish off the show with the NFL prediction with the playoff situation, what we have so far. We have the Jets, Chiefs, and Steelers battling out. Three teams battling out for two wild card spots. One team's going to be heartbroken. A lot of people are looking at the remainder of the schedule, and they're saying that's going to be the Jets because they play New England on Sunday. I personally think the Jets upset New England, and here's why. There's not going to be any Danny Amendola. He's out. There won't be any Julian Edelman. He's out. There won't be any LeGarrette Blount. He's out. Brandon LaFell is now your number one receiver. He has been struggling all year. I think the Jets need this team more than
New Gronk. And Gronk's playing on one good leg.
Well, he looked okay, but I see your point. And the Jets usually do a good job of covering, Gronkowski. Jets need this game more than New England, and I'm picking the Jets to win. I really think the Jets need this win, and I think that they'll get it, making Week 17 of the NFL a really, really interesting topic. And I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on Denver on Monday night, because if they go into the Monday night, they'll know the scenario. They'll know that the Kansas City Chiefs will probably win. I think the Jets will win. And then they got a really good big game against Cincinnati.
And we're no slouch. Just because Dalton's out doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean our defense will hurt you. It don't matter.
Cincinnati's got one of the more underrated defenses in the league.
Yeah. Allowing, what, 16.7 points per game?
Yeah. They're my fantasy football defense. I know all about it, and I'm the championship in all my leagues, so I think I know what I'm talking about.
Well,
by the way, but speaking of fantasy football, I have a problem at running back, and I don't know what I should do. First of all, I'm not starting Jeremy Hill, because Jeremy Hill he's become too touchdown dependent this year.
Yeah.
But in another league, I have Giovanni Bernard. Do you think Giovanni Bernard would be a good play on Monday night?
I believe he will. I believe they'll have him go out for passes, though. I don't think he'll run the ball very much. I think
why I'm liking Giovanni Bernard is because Denver, and this is how I think you guys could win the game. Denver is really, really good at shutting down the run, but they have been horrible this year at covering running backs going out for passes. And Giovanni Bernard is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL at a pass catching as a pass catching back.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Look what he did against Arizona.
Yeah.
He got what, 95 reception yards?
128. Dude, and Jeremy Langford, I think it was Jeremy Langford or Tre'Kendrick West, or one of them did the same thing against Denver. It was, and Denver's got some injuries on defense too, so I think Bernard's going to be heavily involved in the passing game. I think he'll be a good play on Monday night. I do see Denver winning the game just because I think that they will look at it and they'll need it more than you guys will. But who knows? I have no idea. That's going to be a fantastic game either way. I'm only picking Denver just because they are at home. That's literally the only reason. I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Maybe you want the A-Train to go train mode on your show to get you more views,
well,
but I'm not going
to
do that.
If you were Brad, you would want me to pick against your team, because Brad has a conspiracy where every time I pick against his team, they win, but every time I pick his team, they lose. So congratulations, Cincinnati. You just got to win on Monday night.
Now, Tyler, there's something else I wanted to talk about. We talked before the show, and I wanted to talk to you about it on here, if that was okay.
Go ahead.
About what's going on out there with that head coaching job out there. I believe it was Enterprise?
Yes.
Yes. I kind of feel where that coach is coming from by being forced out. I was a head coach, as Tyler knows, Tyler has seen a few of the games and everything that you can watch on NFHS or whatever it's called. But I was a coach, head coach at a school, small school, never won anything. I come in my first year, go 6-4, make the playoffs. We got beat by the eventual state champions. The year after, we go 2-8. My quarterback tore his ACL during the basketball season. So I was without a quarterback, and I only had 24 kids. I went from 48 the year before to 24 because no one wanted to play. I went 2-8 that year, somehow still made the playoffs, got beat. The next morning, Saturday morning, I wake up to a text message from my former boss saying, "Your services are no longer required. Don't come back." So I feel where this coach is feeling right now, being betrayed by a school that he helped make better by winning championships and everything else. Me, I gave my school a conference title, something they haven't had in 20 years.
Right.
And so
what's crazy, too, is that the administration of the, you know, what your school did and what Enterprise did, it's even different, too. Like, they got rid of you because they didn't think you guys were winning enough ball games. It has nothing to do with winning ball games out here. I mean, 3 out of 4 section championships in Northern California, being the first school in the state championship game and win the Northern California state championship game, and you're going to force the coach out because of that? And then the basketball coach, too, got forced out because of other crap? I mean, it just shows what is just ridiculous. Ridiculous, ridiculous.
Yeah. I can say I'm at a better
I think the other thing, too, is that these schools, what they don't realize, is I went to a couple places in the area for out the lunch and food and everything, and I'm not going to say any of the names, but I know they've been major contributors to the booster program for years and years and years and years, and to the athletic program and so on. And they even told me that they're so fed up with the situation, both in the basketball and the football programs, in front of Enterprise High School, they're not donating another dime to that school because of how they've treated these coaches. And so I hope they know what they're doing. Not only is it hurting their school, but it's hurting their kids. It's complete BS. And, you know, when you have 16, I think it's now been 16 coaches resign because they did not like the way that, you know, they handled the whole situation, but I don't blame them. Maybe you should stop looking at the coaches as the problem and look at the mirror as the administration staff that have been making these decisions to try to force these coaches out. And the second thing is, don't come out and lie to us in the media and insult our intelligence. Don't come out and insult our intelligence in the media by saying that, oh, you know, we didn't force anyone out. They left our, yeah, BS. We're smarter than that. And I'm so sick of people trying to insult our intelligence by trying to hide behind the media and having the media feed us beat bullcrap. And, you know, I will say this, a lot of people are so stupid nowadays. If you see all the stuff on Facebook and stuff that people share about, oh, hey, Zuckerberg said if I post this, they'll give me $5 million.
Yeah.
Post something about a giraffe had wings and it was discovered on planet Mars and people would believe me because how stupid people are. So, yeah, you can insult the intelligence of a certain minority of people, you know, maybe 20% of the population that actually believe all the stuff about on Facebook about Zuckerberg giving away money giveaways and all that crap. But the majority of people, believe it or not, media, actually are smarter than you think. So when you come out and you put in the newspaper, oh, we didn't force anyone out, I'm going to call BS on that one. When Ron Jaworski comes out and he says Odell Beckham's suspension has been overturned, and then a couple hours later after public perception, they say, oh, sorry, we were wrong, it was upheld. You're not telling me that the public perception didn't have any influence on that. You use Jaworski as your scapegoat. You know, we're smarter than that. And that's what pisses me off about the media trying to think that they can insult our intelligence, because people are starting to wise up and knowing that 85% of the stuff that they report on is fiction.
Exactly. And also, Tyler, you got to look at, you know, being forced out, you got to look at the parents of some of these players, too. These players that don't get to play, and they get upset because they think their kids, like next Adrian Peterson, the next Ben Roethlisberger, the next Tom Brady, and they're nothing, because I had a kid like that, and his parents came to me all the time. The kid could throw 5 yards, and that's it. They're telling me, oh, he could be the next Tom Brady.
Well, and I remember when I was coaching once, and I had a parent come up to me, complain to me about a kid not getting playing time. They asked, why wasn't my kid getting playing time? And I said, well, you've been watching practice? Because he was at practice. The parent comes to watch practice. Oh, yeah? I'm like, did you not see how many times I had to have your son run a lap? Like, yeah, he ran off a lot of laps. I'm like, yeah, because he's either mouthing off to a teammate, or he's misbehaving, or he's not doing what I'm telling him to do. And I don't care how good he is. If you're not listening to me, who's trying to volunteer and take time out of my day to help you, I ain't playing you. If you're going to get there and say, because I benched the kid because he said before the game that they had no chance of winning. And I said, okay, you don't think you have a chance of winning this ball game? Good. You're not going to be on the field.
Yeah,
no buts about it. You don't think you have a chance to win this ball game? I don't want players on my field believing they don't have a chance to win the ball game. So you're benched. And then, to parents' credit, he agreed with me. The following week, he had a great practice, and then he had a great game. He had 3 sacks the following week. Fantastic. Luckily, I was lucky enough to deal with a parent that actually was on my side about that. But the majority of the parents that I agree with baby their kids so damn much now, where it's where they can just get away with murder, or they think that their kid's the greatest thing from Stowe, Montana, and there's no accountability in actions. They think there's no accountability. Their kid's always right. They don't want to have any type of discipline on them. It's ridiculous. And part of the problem might be people our age having kids too early, and they're not mature enough to even be a parent themselves, so they don't know how to raise one right. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. But the accountability and the whole entitlement in today's era, today's society, makes me sick.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. I had a parent that would come to me, yell at me and whatnot, and tell me how to do my job and everything else. Tell me how to do my job and say I was doing it wrong and tell me that their kid was the next person. I'm like, I'm sorry, but your kid sucks. Because I was set up at that point. I knew for a fact I was getting fired. I knew my welcome was done. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but your kid sucks. He don't listen to me. He doesn't listen to the other coaches. He doesn't listen to nobody. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat anything anymore. Your kid sucks. And that's why he's not talking to me.
He might not have the best talent in the world, but, if he wants to get better, then maybe you start listening to your coaches and not thinking that, here's my thing when I was playing. Fortunately, I was good enough to have good teammates that didn't think that. I was fortunate enough to have good teammates that actually knew that the program and the concept was bigger than one person, bigger than themselves. But nowadays, we have players that think that they're bigger than the program and bigger than the system and bigger than everything else. And you cannot win ball games with that. And honestly, to be probably why some teams in this area didn't win championships this season. But I don't know. The whole accountability thing, like we said, the whole entitlement thing in today's world is so – if you remember that commercial where the dad gets out and they're going to the caravan and, they have
the trophy one. I can agree with that more.
Yeah, me too. Because we're babying these kids thinking that you deserve a championship for everything and that we should all, whatever. It's just like, no. You got to go earn things. That you can't just sit there and have things handed to you. And so many people want handouts nowadays, and it's not even just in sports and everything. And people want handouts nowadays, and they don't want to work for it. No one wants to work for anything anymore. It's the same thing on the damn football field. And if you don't have coaches that can actually implement that type of belief into your kid's system, I can't wait to see what's going to happen over at Enterprise High School. I cannot wait to see what kind of mess that school is going to have, because my give-a-crap level for that school is a zero. Never in my life did I think I would ever say that, because I've been going to Enterprise games. My first 6 years old, I was taken over that school, and I became a Hornet and fell in love with the concept and all that school and that support of that school. Never missed the River Bowl, nothing. Now that school wants to take those coaches that implemented that structure into those young men, take them away from the school, have the whole coach staff basically resign. I can't wait to see what kind of fire mess that's going to happen over at Enterprise. It's going to be backlash, because it's not going to be pretty. And, the news reported, no one's even came forward to apply. Well, no shit, no one came forward to apply for the job, because the other assistant coaches have actually resigned too, because they were sick of the way that you treated them. You don't treat coaches that way.
There is one person that has applied for that job.
Who?
You're talking to him.
Oh, well, good luck. hopefully, you know, if they look at it, they can look at it and make a decision and get some type of structure over there. Because I fear for that school. But, to me, it doesn't even really matter who takes over that position. I'm so done with Enterprise Athletics, and I never thought I'd say that. But as far as Brad and I are concerned, next year when we're broadcasting games, it's not going to be Enterprise football. It's going to just be whoever's the best game in the area, with Central Valley, whether it's Shasta, whether it's Foothill, whether it's whoever.
Well, geez, thanks, Tyler. I feel the love, bro. I know I'm not walking in there with blindly, but.
Well, man. We'll see how that all goes. Before we get off the air, before we rant about how much crap is going on over on Churn Creek Road, any Christmas plans?
I am possibly flying out to Los Angeles.
Wait, tonight?
No, I will be flying out. I'll be flying out Christmas night.
Well, that's only 7.5-hour drive.
To LA. Well, then, if you're around, come on down. Well,
if I can
I'm
get out of my
sure
own
I'm
town, we're
gonna... I'm waiting to hear back from my uncle that I told you about that coached at Mater Dei for so many years.
Yeah.
I haven't tried getting him to apply for that job, but he's actually moving out to Green Bay. But he's trying to find a ticket for me, and I'm going to fly out and hang out with him for a few days, hopefully, and go from there, man. Be in L.A. first time in 12 years.
7.5-hour drive, I don't even know if I'll be able to get out of my own town. We're supposed to be snowed in the next couple of days.
We're not getting any snow out here. I mean,
that's
it's 60s
surprising.
All weekend.
That's just so weird. California, we're supposed to be in the 30s in the snow, and then in Ohio, 65 degrees. What the heck is this?
We're just
Hillary's
lucky,
fault.
I guess.
Hillary Clinton's fault.
No. But by the way, if anyone from Enterprise hears this, my name, I put it in the hat. Coach Eldridge, look it up. Look up my record. I have a good record. Give me the shot. I won't do it the way you want the football team to be run. I'll run it my way. And not your athletic director's way, but I'll run it my way, and you'll have a winning team on the field. And that's the last I'll say about Enterprise.
I have some other negative stuff to say about Enterprise right now, but I'll hold my thoughts to myself.
Oh, no, go
show.
Ahead. Go ahead. This is your show.
I've already said it all. I mean, I've made my opinion well known, as other people have made their opinion right now known, is that I don't know who's making the decisions over at Enterprise or what's going on there, where the political crap came from. But when I was there, that wasn't the way Enterprise was ran. Enterprise was ran as a big family. We all got along. Everybody got along. Everyone, you know, helped each other out. And the kind of crap I'm hearing about over there now is really disappointing. And like I said, my give a crap level for that school is a zero. I am not going to River Bowl next year. I'm not going to any football games next year. I'm not going to any basketball games this year. I don't care. I could care less what the rest of that school does. I do not care. I frankly do not care. I know I can speak for Brad in this. Brad has been a major both financial supporter and moral supporter of that school. He does not give one diddly freaking doo-doo about that crappy school anymore. And they've lost a lot of support, both financially and morally and in the community. That's all I'm going to say.
I
hope they're happy.
I feel the love. I love, bro.
That's what we're going to end on, is that basically the whole show was Roger Goodell is an idiot. Enterprise High School is not the same Enterprise High School as it once was.
And
Odell
the A-Train's moron for putting his name in the hat at Enterprise High School. But I did it anyway.
And with that being said, I'm going to enjoy the rest of the next 2 days looking at my lovely display. By the way, if you're in the Enterprise area, the Reading area, Come by our house. We have one of the best displays in town. Go up El Portal Drive, look to the left, and you'll see one of the biggest Christmas displays in this area.
great driveway. We have LED lights going all the way down the driveway. I got multicolored lights going all the way up the fence. I got lights thrown in the bushes. I got lights on the gate. I got a big 7'5" snowman inflatable. I got LEDs thrown in the shrubs. I got red and green lights in the oak tree. I got lights everywhere. I'm shocked my mom's fuses haven't blown out yet.
Narcissist! Oh, my gosh.
Whew. Hey, okay. Have you seen the photos of the house?
Yes, I have, you narcissist.
And they were pretty good. You got to give me credit. I did all the stuff on my own.
You actually did a good job this year. Better than last year.
Better than last year. Last year, I will give you that. But last year we had a pretty good display too. But this year, because I added more lights to the gate, and I added lights to the fence, which would made this more stand out or whatever. But I got to get off
your poor mom's electric bill.
My poor mom's electric bill. What are you talking about? I have LEDs all around the fence. They don't use LEDs. Don't use up any electricity. The LED. One strand of an LED uses up one strand of an LED uses up the same amount of energy as one single light bulb of an incandescent strand.
Oh crap! You have LEDs? I have just regular light bulbs.
Some of them are incandescent.
But everybody out there, have a Merry Christmas. Like, Tyler, I appreciate you having me on the show. I better be invited to your wedding whenever it is. If not, I'm going to come find you. But Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. I'm the A-Train, and I'm out.
Merry Christmas, and that's a wrap.